Well, thank you so much. I want to add my personal word of appreciation to you for gathering with us in this event. This is always very special for us. It is a family reunion, and so when we look out and see you, we're looking not only at alumni and friends of Southern Seminary, but as the extended family. And I wish we could have reunions like this more often, but as Doug says, this is our main opportunity on an annual basis, other than the events that take place regularly on the campus. One of the most important facets of the life of Southern Seminary is the fact that the Lord has built an institution that has a reach that goes beyond anything the founders could have imagined, and an impact that goes beyond what any of us can see. If you just think in this room of all the families and churches and individuals just represented here, and that's just a down payment, a hint of the reach of this institution beyond. A part of the real value in all of this are the bonds of affection that bind us together. It's not just having been in a common institution with common experiences over common time. It's a deep set of common convictions and a common vision and a common stewardship that we share together. And so there's real joy in gathering together with you here. And with you, I'm glad to be at the Southern Baptist Convention in Greensboro, where we are experiencing one of America's largest experiments in democracy. And we are watching it happen before our eyes. I was reminded over the last couple of days about what Will Rogers said one time. He was asked about his political affiliation. He said, "I'm not the member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat." And that's kind of the way I feel. I'm not a part of any organized denomination. I'm a Southern Baptist. Just watch what happens on the floor. And it is a fascinating thing to see. And I was pondering this morning as I was getting ready to give my report this fact. This is the meeting season for denominational assemblies and denominational meetings. The Episcopal Church USA is going to be holding its general conference. The General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA is soon to be held. The Presbyterian Church in America is meeting. Various Lutherans and others are meeting. And our polity comes with a significant risk. And that risk is that any messenger can go to any microphone and say anything. I want that risk, because that is the very risk that enabled this denomination to recover its theological senses. The Center for the Study of the Southern Baptist Convention on our campus, that is headed so effectively by Dr. Greg Wills, held a conference a couple of years ago, and we invited all these historians and analysts who are watching Southern Baptist, a lot of them from outside our own circle. And the most fascinating of them to me was John Shelton Reed. Some of you may know that he's actually one of these Renaissance men. He's competent in many things. He's a scholar of Anglo-Catholicism. He is a professor of American Studies, professor of American History, and a specialist in Southern humor. And all those things come together. He's taught at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, right down the street here, for many years, and just recently retired as the Margaret Thatcher Professor of American Studies at the University of London. But he was participating in this conference with us, and he's an Episcopalian, and he's a high church Episcopalian. He's an Episcopalian who's thoroughly disgusted with the Episcopal Church USA. And we were asking him down in my study, we said, "Now, Dr. Reed, why hasn't this happened in the Episcopal Church USA? Why hasn't there been something like a conservative resurgence? Why hasn't there been an evangelical correction?" And he looked down and he said, "Because we have something you boys don't have." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Bishops." I said, "Well, actually, Dr. Reed, we have a whole lot more of them than you do, because we think the pastor of every local church is a bishop. But nonetheless, I understand exactly what you're saying. I'd rather have 30,000 bishops than 30. But when he was talking about the SBC, he said, "Let me tell you what happened in the Southern Baptist Convention." He said, "That's what you have to call a pitchfork rebellion." He said, "Farmers, mechanics, and insurance salesmen left their jobs, stuck the pitchfork in the ground, and went to a convention to do some business and got it done. And we would not be here today if they had not gotten it done." That's the risk of this kind of polity. It's also fun just to have John Shelton Reed because he's such a good observer of everyday life. And I can't help but to be right here where he teaches without thinking about a couple of comments he made. He was the color commentator for National Public Radio for the Olympics when they were held in Atlanta. And that's different. First of all, National Public Radio doing sports coverage is interesting enough. But hiring a historian of Southern history to be their color commentator. And you may remember that the The Olympics before Atlanta were held in Barcelona, Spain. And Barcelona is in a region of Spain known as Catalonia, which kind of like the American South once tried to secede from Spain. And they speak their own dialect and their own language. And when the Barcelona Olympics were held, they had to simulcast everything in Spanish and in Catalonian. And being the color commentator for NPR, John Chilton Reed said, I think we ought to do the same thing down here in the South. If we're going to have adequate media coverage. And the NPR interviewer said, what do you mean? And he said, well, for instance, the English and Southern simulcast would go this way. He said, the English would say, you know, the javelin throw will begin in 10 minutes. And he said, the Southern would say, simply, the spear chucking is fixing to start. And I can understand exactly what he was talking about there. And sometimes we need that kind of simulcast right here in the Southern Baptist Convention. That's all right. By the way, he was taken to the top of the Peachtree Plaza in Atlanta. It was kind of like looking at this entire southern metropolis. And John Shelton Reed was being interviewed again by NPR. And they said, you're a southern historian. You look at this. You remember the devastation of the war. You remember everything Atlanta was reduced to at the end of the war. And you look out and you see all this. And he said, it must make you proud. And he said, proud? He said, I look at this and I see this is what 30,000 southern boys fought to prevent. We've turned Atlanta into New York City. That is just another reminder of the fact that we are part of a history. And there is an amazing history. Just think of the history represented. I spoke with a reporter from a national newspaper just a few minutes ago. Just think of this. You think of this and you think about the passage of time, and you think about the grace of God, and you think about the providence of a moment. The messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention, who were a part of a convention formed in the context of sectarian strife in the United States of America in the 1840s, catalyzed over the issue of slavery, stood to their feet to welcome an African-American woman who was the Secretary of State of the United States of America, and stood to their feet again when she announced the United States would be steadfastly against slavery anywhere it is found in the globe. God's providence is rich to allow the Southern Baptist Convention to come to this point. It was a very, very poetic moment this morning. This is an exercise in Baptist democracy, and it is a display of the glory of God in allowing Southern Baptists, as messed up as we can make ourselves and as messy as our business sometimes is, to arrive at this point where that was a truly graced moment, and one I was proud to share with Southern Baptists this morning. Southern Seminary is a part of that heritage. It's an interesting thing to ponder, of course. We are the oldest institution of the Southern Baptist Convention, formed in 1859. And thus, when we meet here in 2006, we have 3 years in advance on our radar screen as we are imagining together the sesquicentennial of Southern Seminary, 150 years of this seminary's life, when we will be meeting in Louisville, Kentucky. And I want to underline that at the beginning and at the end of my comments here tonight, so that you have that before you and you understand that we are going to have the reunion of reunions in June of 2009, when the Southern Baptist Convention will be meeting in Louisville, Kentucky, for the 150th anniversary of Southern Seminary. Now, the last time the convention met in Louisville was in 1959, when the seminary was celebrating its centennial. And so it's high time that we shall return, and you'll be hearing a lot of things about plans for that great meeting as well. I want to give you, in the span of time we have this afternoon, I want to give you something of a taste of what's been going on Southern Seminary's campus, and then I want to conclude with some final comments. But let me just tell you that as we think about a review of the year past, I want to direct you to the screens as we will begin here. I want to give you a taste of what is going on at your seminary, on your campus, and everywhere where Southern Seminary touches the world. Of necessity, this is only a survey, and we're going to move rather quickly through this, but with featured events, we had Dr. Danny Aiken welcoming him back to deliver the Mullins Lectures on Preaching in October of 2005. It was a very, very warm welcome to have Dr. Aiken back with us, and he delivered, of course, an outstanding series of lectures on preaching, reminding us again of Southern Seminary's calling to be the premier institution for the training of biblical expositors. We also had, at that very moment, on October the 4th of 2005, a moment to welcome Dr. Chuck Kelly to our campus. He was there in the immediate aftermath, just about a month after Hurricane Katrina, and we were able to present to him, on behalf of the seminary family, a large check made up of donations, collections, contributions taken from faculty, students, and staff, and to pledge relief efforts. And by providence, Dr. Aiken was there. We had half of the seminary presidents in the SBC. on the campus on October the 4th, and it was good for our students to have that sense of connection between our sister institutions as well. $30,000 collected at that time in order to help directly the students of New Orleans Seminary and others that took place in other contributions in subsequent weeks and months. We also sent teams of seminary students to the coastal areas hardest hit by Katrina. They provided assistance in cleanup and in mobilization. They tore out damaged walls, hauled out debris, and encouraged storm victims. You know, you think about the reach of Southern Seminary, and you just think about the persons who make up our faculty and administration and student body. We had hundreds of persons directly affected by this. Dr. Russell Moore, Senior Vice President for Academic Administration, both of his grandparents lost basically, both grandparents' families lost basically everything. His parents lost their home. His home church disappeared, which, by the way, has led to all kinds of theological questions for some of us. But nonetheless, it just is another reminder that of the devastation of that entire region and of direct ties of Southern Seminary to that as well. We had relief workers, and by the way, one of these pictures is of the home of Dr. Moore's parents. And we also celebrated Heritage Week together in the fall of 2005. And we're looking forward to Heritage Week this year in October and want to welcome you to the reunion that will represent as well. Now, when Dr. Tom Rayner was our speaker on October the 12th of 2005, he not only was our preacher for Heritage Week, but he also gave us the opportunity to celebrate his election as president of Lifeway Christian Resources of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is our first opportunity as a reunion gathering like this to congratulate Dr. Tom Rayner. Tom and Joe Rayner are here. I want to ask that they would stand. This is a great thing for the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Rayner, please stand. Now, you have to realize, I can't see. So if he stood, I did not see him. They left. Great. Great. Leave it to me to draw attention to that. If there's anybody else who's not here, just don't tell me. I welcomed them when they came in. In all seriousness, it is just fantastic that Dr. Rayner has been elected to this post. We hated to lose him as the founding dean of the Billy Graham School of Missions, Evangelism, and Church Growth, but he did an incredible job putting that school together, giving it leadership over all these years. And this is a gift Southern Seminary can give to the Southern Baptist Convention. And while we are on this point, let me go ahead and mention also that we have reluctantly given other gifts to Lifeway, unintended gifts. In this case, Dr. Tom Hellams has gone also as Vice President for Administration and as Executive Associate to the President of Lifeway, and Dr. Brad Wagner, who had been Dean of the School of Church Ministries and Christian Education, has gone to be Director of Lifeway Research. I want to ask those gentlemen to please stand that we might welcome and congratulate you. I see Brad. God bless you. Now, over the last several years, Southern Seminary has made a stunning, if unanticipated and somewhat reluctant, contribution to leadership in the Southern Baptist scene. It all started when Dr. David Dockery was elected president of Union University. Again, I can see God's hand in that and how Dr. Dockery has led Union. But that was one theft, well marked and noted. And it set the pace for several more. Dr. Danny Aiken going to be president of Southeastern Seminary. Jerry Johnson to be president of Criswell College. Tom Rayner to be president at Lifeway. We have now given at the office. The counts are squared. But it is a high tribute to Southern Seminary that this is the place this denomination knows to come when looking for leaders. And we are honored by that as well. Also for Heritage Week this past year, we welcome Dr. Hayes Wicker, father of one of our graduates, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Naples, Florida. And during Heritage Week, we had the very significant announcement on October the 12th of the Albert Lee Smith, Jr. Chair of Christian Leadership, fully funded with a $1 million endowment. Albert Lee Smith, Jr. is an amazing person, United States Representative, Congressman, Baptist leader, direct descendant of P.H. Mell, one of the founders of the Southern Baptist Convention. He and his wife, Eunie, have always been dear friends to me and to Southern Seminary. Dr. Albert Lee Smith, Congressman Smith, died in a tragic accident at his home some years ago. Eunie Smith and her family continue to be wonderful friends of Southern Seminary, and we are highly honored to have established the Albert Lee Smith, Jr. Chair of Christian Leadership at Southern Seminary. One of the big new programs at Southern Seminary with great impact is the Women's Ministry Leadership Training Program. We had in Chris Adams and different programs going on throughout the course of the year. We had the Collegiate Conference, our sixth annual Collegiate Conference, drawing almost 2,000 persons. This was February 3 through 4 of 2006. We also had during the Collegiate Conference a focus on being a people of truth. And this is really encouraging to me. When you are asked about this coming generation of college students and their interests, one of the most encouraging hallmarks of this generation is their interest in Christian apologetics. And they are very seriously interested. Here is a good sign for the future. The more serious you make the event, the more substantial is the number of students who come. That is very, very encouraging. This is not a generation that primarily wants to be entertained or thrilled or exhilarated by some kind of experience. They want to be fed, and they want to have their minds trained in order to be faithful disciples, evangelists, and apologists for the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a Great Commission Prayer Conference in March of this year, held in cooperation with the Kentucky Baptist Convention. We also had in the course of the year Power in the Pulpit with Robert Smith, another one of our longtime friends, and Dr. Herschel York. Here again, centering in the ministry of expository preaching and its centrality to the church. In terms of scholarly lectures, we had this year the J.B. Gay Lectures. We now put J.B. in front of that lectureship every time we mention it. When that lectureship was established, it was not necessary. It has more recently become so. You have to be careful when you call someone up and invite them to give the gay lectures. But we're very thankful for this endowed lectureship. And now we just always say the J.B. Gay Lectures. Dr. Gordon Venom of the University of Gloucestershire in the United Kingdom came and delivered these lectures on praying the Psalms. We also had, in the course of this special focus on the Psalms, Christian and Keith Getty. And if you are not familiar with the Gettys, you ought to be. They are some of the most amazing people serving the church in terms of writing new hymns. And if you've been singing songs like In Christ Alone and Before the Throne of God Above, you've been singing their music. And it is some of the most richly theological and doxological music being sung in the church today. We also had the Together for the Gospel Conference held in Louisville that I participated in, and we had others coming into town for that as well. The Francisco Preaching Award was awarded on April the 25th of 2006 to Matthew Crawford, and it's wonderful to see the future in those who come to preach and to stand in the chapel as the recipients of this award, a down payment on our future. And Matthew delivered a wonderful exposition of God's Word. Several music events as well, missions and outreach events for the seminary. Once again, we had seminary students going door to door with a focus this year on LaGrange, Kentucky. We also had a special soccer evangelism program helping our students to understand how to reach particular groups who may be gathered together for special events and other things that will bring together people from various parts of the world as well. We also had our missions and outreach commissioning service on April the 13th with over 100 students commissioned for various missionary service throughout the course of the summer months. We had our first outdoor graduation. Southern Seminary history was made in May of 2006 when 232 graduates graduated outdoors. This was a risk. We've prayed for a lot of graduations, but never quite like this one. It was beautiful. We now have such a large graduating class that there is no way to accommodate the class in the chapel, much less even with two or three spillover and holding rooms. And so we've gone to moving it outdoors because we want to keep the event on the campus. And it rained before and after, but was clear on the day of graduation. Beautiful day. And we are going to make this a tradition, Lord willing. The Lord willing part there is really important. Because we do have the chapel, and at a worst-case scenario, it just means we go into the chapel, as many of us can go into the chapel. But it was good to be able to welcome so many and to be able to have a graduation there in the midst of God's creation. We had about 1,800 persons, including faculty and graduates, who attended graduation this year. We also, at that event, award the Findlay and Luvinia Edge Award for Excellence in Teaching. And this year it went to Sandra Turner, Professor Sandra Turner of the School of Church Music, much deserving. She has taught for so many years, and she and Ron, her husband, who's also in the church music faculty, are two of the most eager, positive, wonderful and talented members of the faculty we have. And it's wonderful to surprise the faculty member with this award. And Sandra was over there getting ready to play the organ for the graduation when she was so honored. 83 graduates graduated in the May 2006 commencement for Boyce College. And that, too, is a record number. And we filled the chapel. Here's something I've discovered. And that is that college undergraduate graduates come with lots of family. 83 graduates and their family will fill a chapel with 1,400 seats. So we're going to be outdoors with Boyce College pretty soon as well. Also, in terms of the Boyce College graduation, the Seminary Wives Institute graduated 17 persons. The Women's Ministry Institute graduated 8 persons. And those are fairly new programs. It's exciting to see this coming about. And we also had to debut here at the Southern Baptist Convention the Christian Essentials program that has been put together by Mr. Harry Nurse, who is a member of our Seminary Foundation Board, dear friend of the seminary, which is now available in its own exhibit booth at the Southern Baptist Convention, putting the Seminary Wives Institute program out for accessibility to those beyond Southern Seminary. And that program is coordinated by Mary, and I'm just so proud to see how the Lord has blessed that program and now is blessing it far beyond Southern Seminary. The potential there is simply incredible. We mentioned summer missions projects. Let me just quantify this a bit. We have one going to South Asia that actually has just now returned. And we have others headed to other parts of the world, South Asia, to Guatemala. Also, another group going to Guatemala, Newfoundland, Canada. And also, we have campus mission projects coming up in Paris, France, and another in Southeast Asia. Some other issues related to facilities. The campus is so important to us, and it's very important that we give you a report on our stewardship of the campus. If you've been on the campus lately, you will always see improvements. And this is a part of what happens. You know, when you move away from your parents' home, that's when they decide to remodel. And they decide to put in the new family room and all the rest. You come home and you see what they've done with the place. Well, we hope you feel that sense of pride when you come on Southern Seminary's campus and you see what we're doing with the place. I mean, just continually I run into students who were residents of Rice and Judson Halls. Now you come back and there's the Legacy Center. And then they were parts of other locations on the campus, and they come back and see how they are transformed. We are now transforming the Carver building, and the Carver dorms are going to be completely renovated. We also have completely done the exterior brickwork on the Carver building. It looks like a new old building. That's the way one of the students put it, and that's just about perfect. It looks like it's brand new, but built to look old. Actually, it's old and now made to look brand new. But, you know, you have to learn a whole new vocabulary with buildings like this, like tuck pointing. If you don't have to worry about tuck pointing, consider that one of God's greatest blessings in your life. Because if you do have to worry about tuck pointing, you'll discover that the people who tuck points charge a lot of money for tucking points. And if you do not tuck your points, and if you do not tuck your points correctly, and they're not tucked in just as they want to be, then you will have moisture in your walls, and you will have to re-tuck your walls after having untucked them. So we are having them tucked, and this tuck pointing is going on. People are asking what's going on. All the scaffolding everywhere, it's a sign of progress. And that building is being retrofitted for a whole new generation of service. We also have campus grounds, massive improvements. I'm really excited about this. For one thing, we now have a seminary lawn in the front as well as in the center of the campus. You remember that which used to be unofficially, but rather pervasively called the Josephus Bowl, that is now, for reasons that are debatable and historical and irrelevant. But we now refer to it as a seminary lawn. All seminary staff, please listen attentively. We now have a lawn out front as well. Under those beautiful beech trees, there is now a beautiful green lawn with benches and other things. It is simply a wonderful addition to the campus, and this is taking place elsewhere as well. The campus is now 80 years old, and you know, you think about buildings aging, and you think about the kind of work you have to do on walls and roofs and all the rest, but you often do not think about what has to take place in terms of the vegetation of the campus. But that is a big challenge, and we've been putting a lot into it. Just over the last couple of years, and we're very, very thankful. We are building a new cafeteria. It's going to be where the old cafeteria was, but it's going to be completely new and renovated. It will handle more people more efficiently. Its new services will include a new buffet line, a new salad bar, an extended grill facility, including a wok for assemble-it-yourself grilled vegetables. I mention this because it's a commercial for our food services and dining services crew. I realize that there aren't many of you right here who are ready to go out and cook with a wok, but if you did, you will now know where to come. and that is the Southern Seminary's assemble-it-yourself Watt kitchen for grilled vegetables, and also improved seating configurations. You know, here's an interesting thing about students. Students used to eat three meals a day. And I know this is going to sound really old-fashioned to you, but they used to be breakfast and lunch and dinner. College students do not eat that way anymore. They now eat all during the day. And their day doesn't start sometimes when other people's days start. And they eat micro meals. That's the way that demographers describe it. And so we want to be more responsive to the way that students actually eat. And this will also serve us well because we can serve many more people without having to have a lot more square footage. And so it's a good stewardship of the facility. So you'll be able to come in and get a macro or a micro meal, depending on your preference. And one of the things that really blesses us at Southern Seminary is we have food service that people actually drive across the town to enjoy. And Chef Pam and her crew just do such a marvelous job. So if you haven't experienced that before, you need to come and experience it. And you need to visit our new student store as well. We're going to have to come up with a better name than this because at present it sounds like we're selling students. But nonetheless, this is a store for the student body in particular. And we're working on a name that will link it to the seminary's history. And in all likelihood, it's going to be 5th and Broadway, tying back to Southern Seminary's first campus downtown. Architectural features to help remind us of our tie to Louisville in the 1870s. It will sell school supplies, logo items, and expanded copy services, something like the chains found in town, like Kinko's. It will also offer regular post office services with expanded hours. And both of these facilities are going to be ready for the fall. So that's very exciting. You can come and enjoy those as well. We are also expanding the Founders Cafe. It has been so popular that we are now moving it outdoors as well. We're going to be putting an outdoor entrance on. We're going to have an outdoor cafe and also outdoor grilling facilities. So we're looking for that. And it is a sign, again, of what an expanding student body really needs and why we want to be responsive to those needs as we have more and more students coming to us. The heart of the institution, however, is not made up of its facilities as much as that is the familiar context of our work. It is made up of the faculty. In the fall convocation, we had four members of the faculty sign the abstract of principles, the sacred trust with our churches. Those professors were Russell Moore, Robert Plummer, Larry Purcell, and David Sills. And it is a very special thing. If you have never been to opening convocation in the fall, when we have that very sacred moment for the signing of the abstract of principles, you need to be there. Because that is where our identity as a confessional institution is made most clear. There is nothing particularly or inherently sacred about that text, about the paper or the ink. What makes it particularly sacred is the trust. And that is a visible and contractual sense and affirmation of that trust, the substance of that trust, as we receive the stewardship from our churches to teach in accordance with and not contrary to all that is contained therein. And so we also look forward this fall to a similar ceremony. And it is very important for students to see this. That's one of the things that gladdens my heart in opening convocation in the fall is when students begin to see that not only are they accountable, but this is an accountable faculty. A faculty accountable to the churches, to the Southern Baptist Convention, and to the truth of God's Word. New faculty included over the past year Mary Cassian, who joined us as Distinguished Professor of Women's Studies. And we're very pleased to have her with us. Dr. Eugene H. Merrill joining us as Distinguished Professor of Old Testament Interpretation after a distinguished career at Dallas Seminary. Jonathan Pennington coming as Assistant Professor of New Testament Interpretation after just finishing his PhD at the University of Aberdeen. Dr. Randy Stinson joining us as Assistant Professor of Gender and Family Studies. He is also the Executive Director of the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Dr. Donald S. Whitney joining us as Associate Professor of Biblical Spirituality and as Director of the Supervised Ministry Experience. Dr. Nathan Platt joining us as Assistant Professor of Worship and Church of Music Ministry, joining the faculty of Boyce College. Christian Wicker Yeldell, Instructor of Christian Education and Associate Director of Student Life at Boyce College. Jay Martin, now Director of Women's Programs. We're very thrilled to have Jay Martin working with us. Gary Allman, Assistant Professor of Christian Education and Associate Director of the International Center for Youth Ministry. Stuart Scott, joining us from Master's College as Associate Professor of Biblical Counseling. And we also have big announcements that were made over the past year. A new dean for the Billy Graham School of Missions, Evangelism, and Church Growth, Dr. Chuck Lawless, who was already professor and associate dean, Chuck Lawless is a wonderful teacher, one of the most effective and popular teachers on the campus, a man who also is incredibly skilled in research and in study and in the scholarship in the fields of church growth and leadership and missions. And we are thrilled to have Chuck Lawless and his wife Pam joining the executive team, Chuck as the dean of the Billy Graham School. We also welcome Jason Allen, who's the new executive assistant to the president. I want you to meet him and know who he is. Jason, where are you? Okay, we can't miss you. I want you to stand up. There's Jason Allen. And you will want to know Jason, because if you want to get a hold of someone who knows where I am when I do not know where I am, he is that man. And you don't tell me where I am when I'm finished with this as well. We also want to recognize new academic centers established in the year 2006 for 2007. And that is the Center for Theology and Law. We are really excited about this. The Center for Theology and Law will be directed by Peter J. Richards, who is joining us from Emory University, where he has headed the program in the Reformation and law. And we really want to make some headway here, some advance in bringing together the best minds in theology and law, because so much of our lives is touched by the law. And as you well know from the history of the Christian church, law and theology have a shared history. Very interesting. You remember that Martin Luther's father intended for him to become a lawyer. He became a theologian. John Calvin became a lawyer and then a theologian. You have just go through the history of the church. It's amazing. Augustine himself trained in the law. So many who have been trained in the law and in theology, because in the medieval university, it was law and medicine and theology that were recognized as the three main disciplines or professions of advanced scholarship. And it's really important that we help Southern Baptists and evangelicals to think through the intersection of theology and law. This is an exciting program because it will also serve law students. Those who are planning to do a law degree can come either for a one-year pre-law program or a one-year post-law program and receive a master's degree from Southern Seminary in theology and law. And that will have a big impact on the legal careers of a lot of people who want to study as Christians, want to study theology in order to have a worldview basis for understanding the law. The second major center we established is the Center for Theology and the Arts, and we're very excited about that as well. Professor Steve Hallow will be joining us, moving to us from Dallas. Here again, we are surrounded by culture. We are a part of a culture that is focused in so many ways on the different arts. And most Christian institutions are simply out of the conversation about the engagement of theology and the arts. We're very excited to have this research center established. And just as we are glad to have Dr. Richards for the Center for Theology and Law, we're very excited to have Dr. Halla for the Center for Theology and the Arts. We also announced the hiring of Dr. Kurt Wise as the new director of the Center for Theology and Science. We're excited about that. Kurt Wise coming from Bryan College, one of the best-known scientists in the world who affirms creation. And we are very, very excited to have him here. That has made headlines all over the place, and for good reason. He is a very committed Christian scholar, and we are thrilled to have him as a part of our faculty. Moving along, we have, as a part of Southern Seminary's tradition, the delivering of faculty addresses, and Dr. Thomas Schreiner delivered his address on penal substitution as the heart of atonement on September the 7th this past year. And you'll be excited to know that that is going to be the substance of his chapter in the new Five Views of the Atonement book that is coming out from Zondervan. And you will want to see that book. I think Dr. Schreiner's chapter here in defense of the penal substitution understanding of the cross is just incredible. And it will greatly assist the church and those who are trying to think through this issue, the meaning of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second faculty address given this year is by Professor George Martin, who spoke on Jesus as the message of missions. One of the big advances in Southern Seminary in recent years has been the accessibility of our programs over the Internet. Web classes for 2005-2006 were not limited to these, but included classes ranging from Old Testament and church planting to ethics and missiology and conflict management and all kinds of things that you see here, including elementary Hebrew. And there are some people who will take this kind of language course over the Internet much more proficiently than taking it in a classroom experience. Different people have different learning modes, different learning skills. And so this is actually helping a lot of people to do well in the languages, and otherwise they might not. And I had a student explain this to me, and he said, well, number one, it's not so embarrassing to have to just keep going back to this point, go forward, go back to this point, go forward, go back to this point, and go forward. No computer's looking at you impatiently as you're doing this. And it is great. It's also a great refresher course. I had an alumnus ask me in recent weeks if they could take these courses just to brush up on Hebrew. And I told him, I'm just excited to know that someone who graduated 15 years ago is trying to brush up on Hebrew. That's exciting to me. And we want to help you to do that, whatever it takes. Boyce College. We'll be talking about in just a moment. We just mentioned in terms of the web enrollment that it was up 44%, 22 courses, 511 enrolled in the fall, and 624 in the spring. Before moving to the college, let me just mention the death of Dr. Ronald Nash, beloved member of this faculty. At the end of his distinguished teaching career in other institutions, he came to us, a long-time, lifelong Southern Baptist. It was just fitting that he ended his career in a Southern Baptist institution. Some of you may know that he spent many years as an influential member of the philosophy faculty at Western Kentucky University. And from that professorial post in Bowling Green, Kentucky, he wrote some of the most important apologetic works of the evangelical movement over the last 20 or 30 years. And it wasn't that he moved toward the Southern Baptist Convention. Quite honestly, the Southern Baptist Convention moved towards Ron Nash. And it was just right and fitting that he joined this faculty. We wish we could have had him for longer, but he died tragically in March of this year. Author of more than 36 books, and through those books, he continues to speak. I did want to say some works about the college. We're excited by its development. And some of you have been asking the question, it seems like the great raging controversy at this convention has been what we named the basketball team for Boyce College. Some have asked about the basketball team, and as you know, being an avid sports fan, this is one of the first things that I wanted established as a part of this school. You know better than that. I am still not sold on the idea. Somehow, I don't know. I'm just going to have to accommodate myself to this and admit that it is I who am outside the mainstream on this and not the rest of the world. I will not stand contra mundum on the issue of basketball. But in all seriousness, it is exciting to see the excitement about this. We are not going into big-time intercollegiate play. We're not going into scholarships. We're going to be taking our current gymnasium and allowing it to be used for this. Boyce is going to be playing similar schools. And where is Jimmy Scroggins? I'm going to call on you. Jimmy, identify, because I've been asked this question, so I'm going to identify this league in which you're going to be playing. The National Christian College Athletic Association. That makes it NCCAA. You heard it here first. And it's going to be fun. The guys are they're going to be being able to play some other teams. It'll be good for student spirit, and we'll see where it goes from there. But the mascot has now been announced. They're going to be the Bulldogs. And if you want to know the deep theological reason for why they are the Bulldogs, it is because that is an animal they can actually have. I will let you consider the other options that start with B that they could have had. We could have no bear. We could have no other. We did not want anything else that started with a B but a bulldog. And we will have a Boyce College Bulldog. And now the next big question of our Southern Seminary's history and heritage will be what to name this bulldog. Stay tuned for this meeting next year. Finally, I want to share with you some words from the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes these familiar words. He says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We speak of this being a reunion, and so it is. But it's a reunion of friends who are drawn together, not just because we happen to have connections to this wonderful institution that means so much to us, but because we are drawn to this institution because of the commitments it has to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the gospel of Christ, and to God's truth. When I look out to you today, I want you to know that I feel the very bonds of affection about which the Apostle Paul is speaking here. I will soon begin my 14th year as president of this institution, and more than ever before, I am keenly aware that it takes all of us and more of us than we can imagine to make this happen. When you get to stand where I get to stand in May of each year and pass out those diplomas to those who cross the platform, and you know as you hand the diplomas into those very anxious and satisfied hands that they may take that sheet of paper anywhere in the world and may never return, it is a very, very heavy joy. That's something that we don't often think about. The word for glory in the New Testament is really a word that refers to weight. There is a heaviness to all of this. I know that those of you who are alumni of state universities and alumni of prep schools and high schools and all the rest, you know what it's like to gather with people who had some common experiences together. But when you are an alumnus of a Christian institution that serves the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and stands for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something a lot heavier than that that draws us together. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart today that we love and appreciate you. That we are proud that you are a part of Southern Seminary. We are proud that you are proud of this institution. We are proud that you send us your students. Some of you have sent us not only the students from your churches, but you have sent us your children. What an incredible stewardship that is. What a sign of your affirmation and a sign of hope for the future of the church. Thank you for supporting us through the cooperative program. Thank you for supporting us through your financial gifts. Thank you for supporting us through your prayer and encouragement. Thank you for supporting us by being here at this convention and by taking time out of a very busy schedule to come to be with us on a Wednesday afternoon. There's some things we'd like to give you as you go, not only the friendships that are reawakened in this meeting and not only the conversations you will share here. I want you to remember to go to our website at www.sbts.edu and boyce.edu to find materials that are there for you. At albertmoeller.com, all of this we give away in order, hopefully, to be of service to you. We hope that you will direct others there. We put all our chapel services, all the audio and video we can up on the site and just give it away because we want to serve the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have added all kinds of capacity, search engines, and all the rest so that you can hopefully find just what you need in order to help persons. Thank you for listening to the radio program. Thank you for encouraging others to do the same. Thank you for bringing others into the circle of Southern Seminary, introducing them to this institution. This much we know. If the Lord tarries, and we do what the Lord has called us to do, we will be back here, Lord willing, next year in a similar meeting as this. And in a year after that, and in a year after that. Because until the Lord comes, the purpose of this institution is still more urgent every year than the year before. We look forward to seeing you again next year. But don't wait a year to be in contact with us. Let us hear from you. Please hear from my heart how much you bless us by telling us what the Lord is doing in your lives right now, where you're serving, where you're going, what you're doing. Tell us about your children. Tell us about your family, your ministry. We want to be able to share that with others. We want to be able to help other members of this family rejoice when you rejoice and weep when you weep. We have serious work to do. We come together. I just told a reporter a few minutes ago who said, you know, this looks like an awful lot of business in a couple of days. And I said, well, it's because we don't exist to do this business. We come here to do this business to do what we are called to do. You know, it's a good thing the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't come here and meet for 2 weeks. Just think of what we could come up with in 2 weeks. We come here to meet for 2 days in order to go back to the world that is our assignment. So as you go back, just remember that Southern Seminary goes with you in our hopes and our prayers. And it goes with you in your words and in your witness and in your work. May God bless you as you go. Thank you again for coming here today. And may God continue to bless this institution to His glory and to His glory alone. Thank you for coming.